shotglassdigital.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man who saves people unless their name is Davros, Adam Farmer.
Now that is a dead giveaway to the episode, but I don't know. That's a little up in the air. I might have second thoughts about that. You never know what a little compassion can do in someone's life. Complete turnaround. Complete turnaround for Davros.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit of a hint as to what we're going to be talking about tonight on this episode of Bad Wolf Radio. I think we're on episode 38.
Wow.
So I know we don't typically say the number of our episodes as we do our intros, but we're on episode 38, I believe. So that means we're two away from the big 40, creeping up on 50.
Oh, man.
I didn't think we'd get past episode 2, man. So
I don't know. I mean, the one thing that we had in our favor is we're not going to run out of material, right?
That's true. Yeah, we could, even if Doctor Who got canceled, which we know it's probably not going to, I'm sure we'd have plenty of material to go back and cover. So yeah, this is, if this podcast ends, it won't be because we ran out of Doctor Who. It'll be because we just stopped doing it.
Yeah, we have a good 50 years of material to draw on with where we are right now.
Yeah, I was looking at apparently the way they kind of number it, at least in the wiki on the TARDIS data core, they show like what the story number is. So how many actual stories of Doctor Who have been out there. So I guess if it's a two-parter, if it's a three-parter, five-parter, they bunch that into what they call a story, right?
Right.
We're on story number 253.
Oh, snap.
So there have been, to date, we're right in the midst of episode or story 253. So yeah, there's plenty to talk about.
Nice.
We're on episode 38, so we have a long ways to go until episode 253.
We're not only on episode 38 though. 40 is just around the corner, and we'll be at 50 by the end of series 9. But we are at the very beginning of series 9. We have a new series of Doctor Who. We talked about the prologue last week, but we were just able to watch the brand new episode of Peter Capaldi, 12th Doctor, Series 9. We're off to the races.
Yes, you sound very excited about this.
I am. I am excited about this.
So I'm guessing does that mean that you're pretty excited about how the episode went? Are you see this as being a positive sign for the season being a good one?
I am excited about Doctor Who. Don't let that fool you to my feelings about the episode. But I'm excited that Doctor Who is back. Anytime we get a new episode, a fresh episode of the Doctor, it's a good start to the week.
All right. Well, we don't really have much to talk about other than the episode that we just watched. So I think we're going to just kind of jump right into it.
That's fine by me.
So the title of this episode was The Magician's Apprentice. This is was written by Stephen Moffat, director Hedy McDonald, and season 9, episode 1. So let's get into it. Now, this episode, we had talked in our last episode of Bad Wolf Radio, we had talked about there being a prologue or a kind of a prequel thing that they had released about the Sisterhood of Karn and them talking to the Doctor, and we had watched that. But come to find out, that wasn't the only prologue to season 9.
Yeah, and it wasn't until after, well, I think for both of us, it wasn't until after we watched the first episode that then, in poking around, lo and behold, we found out that there was an entire 6-minute lead up, the Doctor's meditation, that we still needed to watch.
Yeah, I figured this out because I was trying to do some research on some of the characters from The Magician's Apprentice in this character that shows up at the beginning, who seems very familiar with the Doctor, the kind of Viking-looking guy that he ends up facing off against in the ring. when I was looking at the wiki, it said he was from something else other than just The Magician's Apprentice. And I was like, what? Like, I've never heard of this, the Doctor's Meditation episode. So I looked into it a little bit, and apparently it was attached to the 3D showings of Darkwater and those episodes that they had done in theaters.
That makes perfect sense.
They had attached it to that, and then I guess they it was kind of like in select theaters. I think it did come on TV at some point on BBC America, but it wasn't. They never really made a big deal out of it. So it kind of just slipped under at least my radar. I didn't know this was out there.
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of poking around, just trying to catch up on people's opinions about the episode, kind of the ratings, something that I'm always interested in to see how things are performing on TV. So doing a little bit of poking around, there was some vague mention of the Doctor's Meditation, and I thought, oh, well, we heard about the Doctor's Meditation in the episode. That's really interesting. Poked around a little bit more, found out that I couldn't watch it because I was in the US as opposed to the UK. But with a little bit more poking around, the interwebs never fails you. So I was able to find it and watch it.
Yep, and you sent me the link literally minutes before we started recording tonight. I watched it. I think we both kind of watched it at the same time.
Yep.
So we can give our kind of fresh thoughts on that. Hopefully, I think if we had as much trouble to find it, I'm assuming our listeners probably maybe didn't know it existed or, you know, had the same trouble trying to watch it. But it does tie like right in with the intro to The Magician's Apprentice. Like literally, you could watch this right before you watch The Magician's Apprentice and there would be barely a spot for a commercial break. Like it literally flows right into it.
Yeah, and it would have been a darn right incredible entrance to The Magician's Apprentice. I just gut reaction, like you said, we pretty much just finished watching The Doctor's Meditation, and I absolutely loved it. It works perfectly for leading right into the episode. If you haven't seen it yet, highly recommend tracking it down and giving it a watch.
Yeah, and just kind of a quick I guess synopsis of what it was, just so you can have an idea of it if you haven't had a chance to watch it yet. If you don't want to know this, you know, pause, go watch it. But basically, the character that you do see in The Magician's Apprentice, the character, I think his name was Bors.
Bors.
He actually plays a huge part in this the meditation episode. It's kind of him and the doctor. The doctor's trying to meditate in this castle. He, I guess, is kind of like the doctor's, you know, assistant.
I would go as far as to say apprentice. Yeah, right?
So I guess the title of this episode, The Magician's Apprentice, is actually referring to Bors.
It has to be.
Which is kind of a funny thing because he just seems like such a minor character in the actual episode, The Magician's Apprentice. The title Magician's Apprentice would almost fit better for the prologue.
Yeah.
Than it would for the actual full episode. But yeah, so he is kind of there with the doctor. It's very comedy heavy, I would say. But very good. It was funny. It was very funny. Some serious moments. The doctor's kind of talking about, you know, he's got to meditate. He's got to go face something. But he has a friend that's sick, you know. So he's kind of, you know, he's referring to all stuff that we know that's going to happen in The Magician's Apprentice. But whatever meditation that he's supposed to be doing, he keeps stalling. He keeps trying to come up with stuff, you know, to not have to do it. You know, oh, we need to dig a well. No, that's not the right spot. So they end up digging like 12 different times until they get it perfect. Then he wants to build a visitor's center. So he's stalling, like the doctor likes to do when he knows that something serious is coming up.
Right. The doctor that we have known likes to do. What I think is incredible, not only about the doctor's meditation, but also the magician's apprentice, is that Capaldi doesn't quite seem like the doctor he was last season. I mean, last series, he definitely is the same doctor. But there was something about the magician's apprentice and even the doctor's meditation where I really liked how Capaldi presented us with this doctor who in the face of something that he definitely doesn't want to go through, he's a little bit goofier than what he seemed in some of the series 8.
Yeah, he definitely, I mean, we can kind of jump, I guess we'll jump around a little bit as we talk about this episode. We don't necessarily have to talk about it, you know, from beginning to end, but if you kind of jump to the part where the doctor makes his entrance into the ring.
Yes, and, I loved that.
he's on the tank and he's got the electric guitar and he's got the sunglasses. And we saw the electric guitar and the sunglasses in the trailer. We didn't see the tank. But we were kind of joking about that, you know, a couple episodes ago when we were talking about the trailer, about how it almost looked like the Doctor might be going through a midlife crisis. Well, right. That very much looks like what's happening now. And even in some interviews that I was watching, Capaldi refers to the Doctor going through a midlife crisis. So what we were kind of reading out of the trailer, I think, is exactly what, you know, the show is trying to portray, that he's, you know, he's kind of maybe insecure about, you know, the end of his life coming and, you know, trying to party it up a little bit right before he goes.
Yeah. And like you said, jumping around a little bit, but at that point in time where just everything is going on, he played that so perfectly. It didn't feel, it was totally different from what we have seen from his character for the most part throughout all of series eight. There were some funny aspects to him in series eight, but definitely not to this extent. But it didn't seem foreign. Like, it didn't seem like, oh, this isn't Capaldi's Doctor. It totally felt like his Doctor. It fit so perfectly. And to me, it just verifies how great of an actor Capaldi really is at the end of the day. When put in the right situation, when given great writing, he's able to execute perfectly. And a little bit of tidbit, that I believe that is actually him playing that guitar.
Really? I wondered
rumor
that.
Rumor has it that he was in a punk band, I guess, in uni. But that might take a little bit more research to verify.
Huh. Yeah. Maybe he has the ability. Maybe in the scene itself he wasn't, because it might, you know, be tough to do that on camera and you know, still act. But I don't know. That'd be pretty impressive if that was actually the sound coming out of the guitar at the time.
Man of many talents.
But yeah, I agree with you. He does seem like a different Doctor, but still the same. But I think like a lot of the complaints about Capaldi in season eight maybe has something to do with the changes that we're seeing in him. I know a lot of people were kind of off put by how gruff he was and how mean he was to Clara, and, you know, pretty much mean to everybody that they came across, kind of the old curmudgeon-y Doctor that we were kind of used to from the first Doctor.
Right.
With some moments of humor, but usually the humor was because he was making fun of someone, and not because he was actually being that funny.
Right.
But this was like the most similar that I've seen him be to Smith. I know as I was watching the 12th Doctor in season 8, I saw similarities to the 9th Doctor. I saw similarities to the 10th Doctor, but I rarely saw similarities to the 11th. And this is now, you know, with kind of the goofiness and the sunglasses and the guitar and that, I could see Matt Smith doing that. Exactly that same scene. I could see Smith step into that scene and it be exactly the same.
Yeah, and I agree with you to a point. Smith could totally jump on that same tank with the same guitar, and yet it would come across differently. I don't know if it's because of the history that we have with Smith and just his overall character, but even with the goofy aspect that Capaldi had, there is still like this turmoil that I never saw Smith come across. Even when he's standing on top of the Pandorum and he's like yelling, like that was a scene where there was great turmoil, but Smith still came across as like this strange, goofy bravado. But Capaldi, he was goofy, very close to Smith, but yet he played it. It feels like he played it totally different than what Smith would have. There was still like this dark, unforeseen element to how Capaldi approached it. I still love that gruffness that he has. I'm really interested to see how it plays out. Like we've mentioned it a couple times, this is just a really interesting instance for him based on the surrounding parts of the episode, with where the story takes him and everything that crops up. It's going to be interesting to see if this is resolved within The Witch is Familiar, the next episode, what Capaldi looks like for episode 3 and 4 and 5 and so forth.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of talking about, we're going to jump around a little bit. I would say that this episode jumps around a lot.
Yeah, it does. It is all over the place.
It's very, I mean, I'm trying to think back on everything that happened. It's just like there's so many different things that happened and they all don't seem to really connect that well. A lot of, you know, big characters show up. So I guess we can kind of rewind a little bit jump back to the very beginning of the episode, which we're talking about how the meditation episode flows right in. So the meditation prologue literally ends with the sounds of battle and the mist, and then that's how the episode starts. So we see this battle going on, but it's not like a futuristic battle that you might expect in Doctor Who. You know, there's a like a biplane.
Biplane with laser, freaking laser beams.
Yeah, so it's like old technology with new technology. There's a guy with a bow and arrow. So there's a battle going on. We don't really know where we're at, and that's how the season starts. But kind of the big stuff that happens at the very beginning is we have this child that is running away from the battle, gets caught with these hand mines.
Which
I really want your opinion on that. So yeah, let's talk about that. So we have this child. He gets stuck in these hand mines. One of the soldiers tries to talk him through it. The soldier ends up getting killed himself, or at least pulled under the ground by the hand mine. But how did the hand mines strike you? That was an interesting, I guess, very Doctor Who-ish, but definitely different.
Very, very Doctor Who-ish. Just taking one step back, as I watch this episode, as we talk about this episode, there's so much that shows up in the trailer that comes straight from just this first episode in and of itself. I'm really interested, like, as we watch, to try to piece together other episodes. But the hand mines, the hands that come out of the ground, they have the eyeball in the hand. And then I guess they are looking for movement, and then they grab you, and then they pull you under. Go for it.
Well, when they refer to them as mines, I initially thought of it as a weapon, like something that was part of the war. Like, you know, people had planted these mines. And to me, that was like, that's kind of weird. You know, mines that look like hands with eyes and they pull you under the ground. Like, that just seems like a weird technology. But then I started to think of it as more, it wasn't necessarily a technology or a weapon, but just some kind of creature that lives on this planet that you just need to watch out for. So once I took it that way, although still very ridiculous looking, it was more acceptable to me as opposed to being ultra cheesy. It was just kind of cheesy. But it was, you know, we've watched enough Doctor Who to know that that's a very typical type of thing that you're going to see in Doctor Who. Didn't throw me off too much. But
I personally liked it. Have you ever watched the old sci-fi slash horror movie called Tremors? Where the things move through the ground and they come up when there's motion and movement and they grab you and they pull you under.
Yeah, I feel like it was on TV on some Saturday afternoon and watched it a little bit. I don't think I've ever sat down and watched it.
I think Reba McEntire is even in, or McEntire, however you say your last name. Reba's even in the movie at one point. But that's kind of what it reminded me of. I don't know. I still kind of loved it. Like, from the moment that it grabbed the soldier and he was trying to convince the child, oh, it will be okay, it will be okay. And all of a sudden he can just get sucked under. I had that feeling of suspense.
Like, that was a good moment.
They were somewhat ridiculous in the way how they looked. Thinking through like all the logistics of them probably doesn't make much sense in the first place. But they still inspired a little bit of tension and fear. As ridiculous as they looked, having a hand poke out of the ground and like scan for you, that's a freaky concept. I thought it played off really well.
So the kid is stuck there. The soldier that was trying to help him gets pulled underground, so he's kind of left on his own. But then, you know, the doctor shows up. You see a sonic screwdriver gets thrown to him. The doctor standing up in the corner.
Throw.
Yeah. And so the doctor is, you know, talking to him, trying to help him out, calm him down, tell him to pick up the sonic screwdriver. But then he asks the boy's name. And this is where things start to get interesting, because his name has some meaning to the doctor, and his name was Davros, which I mean, that's a pretty big deal for Doctor Who. This is, you know, for that character to return, because I guess arguably, you know, other than the Master, probably the biggest nemesis of the Doctor's.
Yeah, and they did a really good job of causing that pause. I think based on the rumors, and if you avoided the rumors leading up to this episode, props. But as soon as I saw the kid, it's like, oh, I think I know exactly who that kid is. And yet it still was one of those moments that I held my breath as soon as he said his name. They just did a really good job of building it up and then having that silent dramatic pause afterwards where the doctor doesn't reply. I loved this scene overall. It wasn't quite it was a great entrance to the episode. And it had some great lines by that doctor as well. Like the whole idea of you have 1 in 1,000 chance and you just need to focus on that one. That one is all you need. I really loved that line. It was a very doctor-esque, I'm going to rescue you type of line.
Right. Until he heard the name.
Yeah, until he heard the name.
And then he just got out of there.
And he was like, oh crap, you have my Sonic. Now what do I do?
That would have been funny if he was like, hey, could you throw that back to me real quick? And then just leave. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Davros shows up. I know when I heard the name, I kind of had like a quick intake of breath because I didn't know. I have been avoiding spoilers and such, so I was not aware that we were going to see Davros this season. I don't think I knew the Daleks were going to be in it, and I think, did they show Davros in the trailer?
No, they never showed Davros in the trailer.
Yeah, so I didn't know. I mean, I guess signs are pointing to it, but I didn't know, so I just was like, whoa, wow, that's a pretty big character to pull into the season.
I'm glad I can say that I didn't spoil you of everything having to do with this season.
Yeah, I know. I know you're less careful when it comes to spoilers and rumors and stuff, so I know the temptation's probably there to drop some news on me from time to time. but we get that scene, and then we get a scene where this guy, Colony Sarf,
is kind of
going around looking for the doctor. He's like Davros's henchman. Obviously, this is well into the future now. And this guy, man, that is a creepy character. But seemed like maybe pulled straight from the pages of Harry Potter. But but yet, you know, just different enough that it didn't seem too much of a ripoff. But yeah, the cloak and the kind of the type of voice that he had, the look to the character, the fact that he was basically snakes inside of a robe.
A colony of snakes inside of a robe.
Yeah, it did scream a little Harry Potter to me.
Yeah, I'm going to keep saying this. Like, yeah, it did seem kind of goofy at first, but I really loved Colony Sarf. Like, by the time that he shows up at the Shadow Proclamation and he shows up on Karn and like he's going around looking for the doctor anywhere and everywhere that he can, he's a real bad dude. I really liked watching what they did with him and some of the things that they did later where he kind of the snakes all unwrap. That was really cool to watch and see. It was really creepy, but it was really cool.
Yeah, like the big snake, I guess, is kind of what he is. And then there's like all the little snakes that are kind of forming the rest of him, like the arms and the shoulders and the legs. Yeah. And yeah, interesting. I thought it was a cool character too, actually. I liked it. I thought, you know, although a bit derivative of other things, it was a kind of a cool character, creepy henchman type character.
Yeah. I wanted to see him just like lift the bottom of his robe slightly to see if there truly was a segue underneath him as he like floated around everywhere he went.
Okay.
He just kind of like floated.
So it was kind of a segue. I saw the behind the scenes on how they did that. And they show the actor that's playing him, and that actor looks nothing like. I mean, you wouldn't believe if you saw the actor and then you see this character, it's hard to believe it's the same person. But he is in, or they kind of have like a, I don't know if you've ever seen these before, but basically it's like a Segway, but it's just a little platform with two wheels and you kind of lean forward or back and it goes, so it works like a Segway without the big handlebars.
Oh yeah. Have you seen that.
Yeah. That's what he was on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
So the way he's kind of gliding around, I actually thought when I was watching it, and my wife thought the same thing, that he was maybe on rollerblades or roller skates, kind of the way he was kind of weaving a little bit. But I think that's because of the way you have to kind of, you know, do that vehicle as well. You kind of have to weave it. So he does kind of have this back and forth a little bit as he's gliding along. It looks kind of cool that he's floating, but at the same time, like you said, the first thing you thought was Segway, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, and the first thing I thought was roller skates. So it doesn't look natural. It does look like there's something going on that, you know, it does kind of take you out of the scene a little bit.
Yeah, not quite how you would expect a snake to, I guess, slither across the floor.
But it was a cool effect, though. Yeah. It did seem a little mechanical, and then now I know why, because I saw the behind the scenes and saw how they pulled it off. But cool idea.
So we had the battlefield where we met Davros. We had Colony Sarf where he's looking for the doctor. And then we get like our third scene change where we're brought back to Clara in the classroom.
Yeah. And now it's just a whole nother thing, because then you have the whole thing with the airplanes.
Yep.
You know, she's in the classroom, the airplanes freeze, and it's like a whole nother episode just started. You know, it's so different than what's going on. And then, you know, they figure out, well, we get UNIT.
We get UNIT. It shows and up. Did you see who was noticeably missing from UNIT?
Yes. So the character that is coming back, we know, is not there yet.
Yeah, Osgood. She's not there yet.
Osgood, yeah. Yeah, she's not there yet. So we know that there's still yet to be an explanation as to how she comes back. But we did get to see Kate.
Yep.
Kate, so it's good to see her back. We knew she was going to be back this season as well. And then another returning character, the person that they're trying to figure out, you know, who froze these planes.
Who's crazy enough to freeze all the planes in the sky just to get someone's attention?
Yep, Missy.
Missy. None other than Missy.
Yeah, and the way she kind of announces herself with the lyrics to the Hey Missy song. Yes. I thought that was clever. I like that. But yeah, so we get Missy back, and there's planes frozen in the sky. It's kind of all over the place at this point, I felt like.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Missy wants Claire to meet her at the cafe, bring 8 snipers. I love Missy. I love what Michelle Gomez is doing with the character. There's definitely some really like just downright goofy things that are said and off the wall and bonkers and crazy, but that's really who Missy has become. She is just totally bananas. She is out there.
Yeah, definitely. I'm she's starting to grow on me. The first few times that we saw her before the big announcement that she was actually the master, I was just like, what is this character? Like, she is just annoying. But now that I know that she is the master regenerated, she's, you know, she is a Time Lord, she's Missy, and comparing it to kind of the crazy representation of the master that we've gotten in the past, it just makes sense. You know, this character is just getting more and more insane every time it regenerates.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's definitely grown on me. I actually found her very entertaining in this episode. I don't think there was any line that she said that I didn't laugh at. Like,
you know, even when she asked if Claire's boyfriend was still really dead.
That was hilarious. I mean, she's heartless. You can't like, you kind of want to like her, but then she does something like that, or she kills that poor, you know, that poor guy from UNIT who she's like,
who has baby leakage.
Yeah, judging by the ring on his finger, he was married, and I think, you know, he had kids too, and she's just so flippant about it. And then she kills another one, and it's just like, oh, wow, like, is right as I'm starting to like this character and kind of think, oh, maybe she could be like a cool good guy eventually, and then she just does something like that.
Yeah, she totally, yeah, she right from the very get-go, she picked up right where she left off. She has flipped her lid. But yet she is still so, it's one of those relationships, the doctor and the master. They are so tightly wound together. And that one piece that talked about in the prologue, the doctor's confession, that shows up, and it's not Claire that gets it. It's Missy. Missy has the confession because she is the doctor's closest friend.
Yeah. She is the doctor's best friend, which it keeps coming up.
Another great scene between her and Clara.
Oh, I love the part where she sees the couple walking with the dog, and she's like, you see that couple? You're the dog. And it's so true. It's sad, but so true. When it comes to these companions, it is like they're just throwaways to the doctor. You know, he has someone like Missy, who is a constant in all of his time, who would be more of a friend. And then these companions, it's just come and go. And like, sometimes he seems to care, sometimes he doesn't. You know, it's kind of like your family dogs. You know, you have a few of them through your life, and some you love more than others, you know, but for the most part, they're just animals, so you're not really that attached to them. At least that's my experience with dogs. I know other people aren't as heartless as me, but yeah, so it was a very, all the, you know, kind of mean example of the doctor's relationship with his companions, kind of accurate.
Yeah, no, totally. That it was such a great insight into the master and the doctor's relationship, Missy and the doctor's relationship, and then kind of on the level that they are compared to, like you said, the companions, their relationship, where where she said something about like try to get your brain to rise above reproduction and all this other stuff and consider true friendship.
Right.
They have a friendship that, yeah, that's trying to kill each other is like texting.
Yeah, it's like our texting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is where we find out that the doctor is missing, that Missy hasn't heard from him. She has this confession that's supposed to come before the doctor dies. Clara hasn't heard from him. They haven't been able to find him, so they put their heads together to track him down. And that's where we get our fourth scene change.
So is this the part where they go to the Middle Ages?
Yep. She slaps on the time vortex manipulator and boom.
Yeah, they figure out where the doctor's at. They go to the Middle Ages, and we kind of talked about the scene. The doctor comes in with the tank, the electric guitar. He's, you know, playing the guitar. Then he realizes Claire is there and then plays what song did he play?
Hey, Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman, that's right.
I loved that part. I don't know who he was playing for, though. That's the question.
He was playing for Clara.
Was he?
Oh, yeah, definitely. She came down. He's playing the song as she's walking up to him. She's like, she calls him charming, I think, which was funny.
Yeah.
He gives her a hug.
We're doing, you know, hugs now?
Yeah, it's all completely out of character for him, and she's kind of like, what's wrong with you? This isn't you. I loved it. I thought it was great to see kind of the change in the doctor. I'm hoping that this is kind of the version of the doctor that we're going to get the whole season. I hope this isn't just kind of a, you know, throwaway, hey, let's have him act like this just for the first episode. I hope this is kind of the new version of the 12th Doctor, because although I enjoyed season 8's 12th Doctor, I like this one a little bit better.
I know. It's going to be interesting because they're putting him in such conflict the first two episodes that depending on what happens the next episode, either he's going to be just downright burnt and just ready to kill everybody, or he's going to be, I don't know. I have a hard time thinking that this would last. The part where they're hugging and like, this is a party, what's going on? And he said, I don't know. I spent all day yesterday in a bow tie and the day before in a scarf. This is my party. All of me's invited. He's being really honest to where he's come from, the doctors, the characters that have come before. It's really refreshing, to be quite honest. It was a fun one to watch.
Definitely. So they're there, and then the snake guy finally tracks him down. Sarf.
Yeah.
So he tracks him down, and then takes him to Davros. Davros is, you know, sick and wants to talk to the doctor. And Clara and Missy, you know, decide to go along. So now we have
scene change number 5.
Yeah, so another pretty drastic change. They end up, you know, on this, I guess, what looks like a space station, but then they end up finding out it's not a space station.
That's no space station.
Yeah, so Davros, we get to see kind of the new version of Davros. I guess we've seen him in a lot of, you know, he's met so many different versions of the Doctor and kind of always looks a little bit different. I guess the last we saw him was with the 10th Doctor, right?
Yeah, Dr. Donna.
Dr. Donna. So, yeah, we get Davros back. Some interesting conversation between him and the Doctor. Some interesting things going on with Missy and Clara and the Daleks. I like the scene. The one thing that stuck out to me, one of the things that stuck out to me was the scene with Missy and kind of how she's talking to the Daleks. The one scene where she goes up to the one Dalek and kind of like plays tickles with his little. Yeah. I was cracking up. Like
the dog's unmentionables. The dialogue makes sense.
Just unbelievably inappropriate, but hilarious all at the same time. And only a character like Missy could pull that off. So yeah, it was, that made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, and like it's from the moment that they're like her and Claire are just locked in that room together that like the craziness of Missy just goes on. Like she's dancing around the room. Like she's well, the scene starts with her like singing or making like musical noises to herself. And Claire's like, "How long have we been here?" And the doctor's like, "I have no idea," because Missy was probably driving him crazy. But yeah, then she's like just doing this jig in the room talking about gravity. And then she asks what the door is and she says it's pants. I don't really get that part still.
The door is pants.
And then like it, she says she's going to kill Clara. And then she's like, let's get sucked out and we can make jam. And like, she's just like out there. Like she, I have a hard time keeping up with what she's meaning. Half of it, I don't think means anything other than she's just crazy and it gets laughs. But yeah, then they get captured by the Daleks and they're in that room and she's like, she's either making a plea for the doctor or she seriously is trying to put herself in a position where she's in charge. I'm not too sure if it was like solely, if it was the most selfless act that she could do by having that dialogue or if it was really selfish. I'm still torn.
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, I don't really know what, like Davros's end game is.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of brings the doctor there, but it's kind of hard to see what the whole point of it is. Like, why did he bring the doctor there? What's kind of his end game? Because it doesn't seem like he's really in control of the Daleks at this point.
Yeah, he even says that.
They're kind of doing their own thing. So, and I guess they're trying to make us think that he's dying. So I don't know if he's just bringing the doctor there just to torture him one last time. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of where this all leads. Because they make you think, you know, and obviously it's probably not true, but they do make you think that, you know, Missy and Clara don't make it through this episode.
Right. And what you said about Davros's endgame, that's something that I'm puzzled by, because there are instances, like you said, where he doesn't seem to be in control of anything. Like all he wanted was to have the doctor show up. Like that was his sole entire purpose. But then on the flip side, he makes those comments about how he was hoping to have one last talk with the doctor to hear the doctor say that compassion is not worth it. Which I think is interesting, because it's like the doctor really didn't have compassion on Davros at the very beginning when he was the kid. He just like totally left, and that's the Davros has remembered that, but he wants to hear the doctor say that compassion is a weakness that he doesn't want to have, that no one should really have. But so he has that in mind, but like you said, there's really no, it doesn't seem like he has a plan in place. Like he's not in control of anything. He really had no say in whether Missy and Claire showed up in the first place. They just happened to be there. So that's just a fluke. I don't know what he's planning on doing.
The implications of this though are pretty big if you really think about the whole scheme of things with the doctor. You know, Davros is the one who created the Daleks.
Right.
Well, Davros, we're now finding out, was just a kid, you know, a kid that got stuck on a minefield that the doctor left him in. So it's kind of like, did the doctor leave him there because he thought he would die? And then that would stop the Daleks from being created? Or did the doctor leave him there because he didn't want to mess with time? Because he knew that if he interfered with whatever happened, that he would be changing the future. So he just left him. I don't know. Like it's almost like, in a way, the doctor created the Daleks, because by leaving him there, you know, the kid, we don't know what happens to the kid, I guess, but I guess the implication is that he's not too happy that he got left there, and maybe that's what led him to, you know, kind of go bad. So
yeah, and that's where the thing is just absolutely crazy. Like when they're all in the shuttle going to the space station, which we find out is Skaro in the end. I don't think we mentioned that, but it's not really a space station. It's actually the planet Skaro. It's back and everybody's freaking out about that. But on their way there, the doctor's explaining to Clara, like, Davros made the Daleks. And then he asks the question, who made Davros? Because he essentially is led to believe that he's the one that put Davros in the position that he was. But you go back to the beginning, and like you said, it's if if he saves Davros, does Davros still go on to create the Daleks? So by leaving him, will Davros be out of the picture so he can't make the Daleks? Or is it because he was left that he ends up making the Daleks? Right. It's just one of those, like you said, it's a paradox. Like, what was the Doctor supposed to do? Because he, I don't think he even knows what he's supposed to do. But then they had that when Davros and the Doctor first get together and they have all those flashback scenes to the previous incarnations of the Doctor. And they have the previous incarnation of the Doctor asking if you were to find a child who you knew was going to do just terrible things, would you stop him from being able to do that? Like, that's the big question. And they really played off that question for this entire episode and probably even in the next one. Like, the Doctor now has met Davros as a child. Does he stop him?
Yeah. It's that I like that about this. I like the timey-wimey stuff, you know, where what the Doctor does has implications on the future. And just the thought that now every time I see an old episode that Davros is in, that Davros has met the 12th Doctor, you know?
Yeah.
Like, every in his conversations with the 10th Doctor, with the 5th Doctor, the 4th Doctor,
he knows that
the 12th Doctor met him as a child and left him for dead. You know? Like, that's something that is a pretty big revelation. So,
needs to show up here? War Doctor. The War Doctor just needs to come in and just be like, forget about it. This is done, and destroy Davros. It just needs to end with the War Doctor. He just like struts in and just does it.
Well, we know in the end, the War Doctor didn't even have the guts to hit the button. So
moment.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was something that I thought was kind of cool about this episode. It ended kind of odd. Like, we know, you know, they show Claire and Missy get shot by Daleks, and the way that they show them get shot, you know, you see the whole skeleton and stuff, the way that you typically see somebody get killed by a Dalek. So it's kind of interesting. It'll be interesting to see if the explanation to how they live is more of a timey-wimey thing as opposed to being they weren't actually killed. Maybe they were actually killed, but the Doctor is going to change the future.
I'm not going to lie. It was kind of fun to see Missy and Claire both get exterminated.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's one of those things that it's just they're such big characters and it's the first episode of the season that there's never a moment that you were just like, oh my gosh, they just killed Clara. Like, maybe some people had that reaction. But I think for the most part, most people are like, okay, how did she survive is more the question.
Yeah.
We've already seen Missy get disintegrated, and apparently it doesn't affect her. So, depends on if she has now been officially disintegrated by a Cyberman and a Dalek, and I'm pretty sure she's coming back. So
we just need a weeping angel to get a hold of her.
Right, yeah. At some point. Just get all the bigs to take her out one by one. Maybe eventually something will stick eventually.
Nice.
But so it kind of all ends with a scene where you see the Doctor back on that planet with the kid again. But instead of, you know, you kind of think, oh, maybe the Doctor, you know, he's come back to help the kid. But instead they show you the Doctor there with a gun that looks very much like it was taken straight off of a Dalek. And he yells out, exterminate.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yep. I reading through some forums leading up to tonight, someone asked the interesting question again, timey-wimey, if the weapon that he has pointed at Davros is a weapon created by the Daleks. If he pulls the trigger and kills Davros, that means the Daleks never existed, therefore that weapon never existed. So did he ever kill Davros in the first place?
That's the kind of, you can't let your mind start going down that rabbit hole with Doctor Who. It's just, there's too much of that going on. You have to give it, you know, you have to give it a pass.
Yeah, but
that's very timey-wimey. They're not gonna get that specific with time travel when it comes to Doctor Who.
No, but that is definitely, a great way for the episode to end. We are back to the two-parters. Moffat, who has said before that he wasn't a fan of two-parters, he wasn't a fan of the story stretching out that long, we're back to him. We have the first episode as a two-parter, a cliffhanger right in the middle with the Doctor pointing a weapon at Davros. The Doctor holding a gun, he never holds a gun, pointed at Davros and saying, exterminate.
So have you seen the preview for the next episode?
I have, yes.
Did you see the preview clip?
That is a great question. I saw the one that played right as the episode ended for next, but I have a sneaking suspicion they've probably released another one by now.
Yeah, so there was a clip that shows the Doctor having another conversation with Davros. But at this point, he actually has that gun in his hands.
Oh.
And he's actually still with Davros. He's not back on the planet with Kid Davros. So he's kind of talking to him. He's got the gun. And then he actually at one point goes right up to the back of Davros and puts the gun right up against the back of his neck.
Oh.
Like almost like he's going to kill him right there. So I almost kind of wonder if the way this works out is that the Doctor is in the room with Davros. He's kind of like, dude, I'm going to kill you. And Davros is like, why would you kill me right now when you could kill me when I'm a kid? Why don't, you know, and gives him the option to go back.
But it is with the clip that aired at the end of the episode, there was the big dialogue or the monologue by Davros about genocide, and you have the chance to with one knife in the back of millions and basically setting the Doctor up for wiping out everything. So it's kind of like Davros is egging him on.
Well, this is kind of fitting.
Probably about compassion, trying to prove to the Doctor that the Doctor, it was a mistake all along.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of fitting because we always kind of joke around about how the Daleks, you know, every time the Doctor wipes out the Daleks, they always come back because, you know, it's a time travel show. So you never really wipe anybody out because at some point in time, they're still alive. But in this case, you could say, hey, you know, this would be the way to do it. Go all the way back to the beginning, you know, take out what created the Daleks, and maybe by doing that, you would actually wipe out the Daleks completely.
Right.
We all know that Daleks will come back because we're fans of Doctor Who and it's the big bad. But if you're just looking at it from an in-universe perspective, this would be the logical way to do it.
It's the silver bullet.
Right.
It stops it.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this all pans out. I think I know, you know, kind of the Doctor, you know, we've never really seen him kill in cold blood like that. So I doubt that he'll go back and kill this little kid, but it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
I'm with you. Just a couple more days and we'll be able to watch the second half, The Witch is Familiar. It'll be good.
Yes.
But before we get there, I am going to turn the tables on you, and I have 7 questions that I want to ask you.
Okay.
About this last episode or the episode that is yet to come.
Okay.
And all I want is a yes or no answer, and we'll just move through these really fast. We'll see how this goes.
All right. This was unexpected. But,
and if you want to go back to any of these questions and just chat about them a little bit more afterwards, we can do that, but we're just going to move just yes or no answers. Can you do just yes or no answers?
Yes, I will follow your rules.
Okay. Are you ready for 7 questions?
Yes.
Okay. Question number 1. Was the Doctor ever a little girl?
No.
Is Missy really dead?
No.
Question 3. Is Clara really dead?
No.
Question 4. Does the Doctor kill Davros?
No.
Question number 5. Does Davros die?
Yes.
Question 6. Do we see Colony Sarf again this season?
No.
Question 7. Do we see the Daleks again after this next episode?
Ever? Or in this season?
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
for a minute there, I thought every answer was going to be no. I was like, did you just set this up for me to sound very negative?
No.
Yeah, I think we had kind of talked about some of those things. Missy and Clara, obviously, I kind of had already said I thought they would be alive.
Yeah.
Davros, yeah, I mean, I could see, I don't think the Doctor necessarily is going to kill him, but I could see him maybe dying again. Not that it would be the first time we saw him die.
Yeah, but do you think at the end of the Witch is Familiar that he bites it?
Yeah.
Natural causes?
Yeah, I think he'll just die. I don't think it'll be the Doctor killing him.
Okay.
Either that or some kind of self-inflicted death, you know, which tends to be a good way to get rid of a bad guy so it doesn't make the hero look bad.
Or the Daleks could do it.
Yeah, like the Daleks will kill him or something he does will cause an explosion or something, you know. So I don't think the doctor will be the cause, at least not directly, of the death of Davros this time.
Okay.
So, okay. But yeah, good questions. Definitely didn't expect that.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, so I guess we can kind of wrap this one up. And we, like you said, the next episode is just in a few days from as we're recording this. We'll probably release this, as tends to be kind of our schedule, on Friday. So we'll release this right before the next episode airs.
Just one more question.
Yeah.
Overall thoughts on the episode?
Overall thoughts. Man, that's one of those things that, like, there was so much about the episode that I really liked. I loved all the references to stuff in the past. The Shadow Proclamation thing. Have we ever actually seen that, or have we only ever heard it talked about?
I think in a old episode it showed up.
Okay. I just remember, like, hearing, you know, the 10th Doctor say that in the Christmas Invasion episode, yeah. I think. You know, yeah. he says something about that. So to see that show up was cool. You know, all the references. We get to see the Sisterhood of Karn again, a little bit more going on with that. So, like, there were moments that I thought were great. But, like we were kind of talking about, it just felt so disjointed. Like, there was just so much going on and jumping around, and that it was a little hard to follow. But overall, I did really like it just because of all the cool stuff that happened during the episode.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. The first time I watched it, it never let me find my footing, which might be a good thing in a lot of cases where, like, it's just you're on the edge of your seat and you're always jumping from one thing to the next to the next to the next. But after watching it for the first time, it ended, and I literally sat on the couch for like 10 minutes staring at a blank screen, just thinking, like, what in the world did I just watch? Like, I can't process everything that happened. It was just, it seemed like an awful lot. That said, I watched it a second time, and the second time I watched it, I think because I knew the flow of the episode, the second time I watched it, I really loved it. Everything that we were shown, that we had already seen, everything we were introduced to, Davros as a kid, the hand mines, like all the different elements of it, Boars, the electric guitar, the fish tank, the jokes, Capaldi's character, everything that they just kind of like shoved into the episode, that the first watch through didn't seem to be connected at all. The second time I watched it, I was able to sit back and really enjoy all the little elements that they have in there. So it performed really well in the US. It has double the viewership that the average was last series 8. It was like 1.1 million average per episode last year on BBC America, and it hit 2.2 or thereabouts for this one episode, this series. So it definitely looks like it's caught attention here in the US, not so much in the UK. Ratings were a little bit down, but I'm stoked for it. I might have to watch the next episode twice too to feel like I'm grasping it, but I really loved it. It was a great start to series 9.
Cool. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap this one up. As usual, you can leave us a review on iTunes if you enjoy the show. We would love for you to head over to iTunes, leave us a nice 5-star review. You can follow us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast, Facebook. We are Bad Wolf Radio. Just search for that. You'll find us. And you can send us feedback anytime, badwolfpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. And we are on the Shot Glass Digital Podcast Network, so you can find us over there. All of our releases are over on that network. And until next time,
later days!